disagree with me. They think that maybe this wasn't original, that might have been added a little bit later. Maybe the original ending fell off of Mark's papyri, and they said, well, let's try to remember what he put in there. There's differences of opinion on that. So I don't want to make out like anybody who disagrees with me is sinning and is a heretic or that sort of thing. But I do believe these are scripture, and so I'm going to proclaim God's word from them. So let's get into this then. I know I spent a good bit of time with that. I felt like it'd be a little bit helpful for you anyway. I want to look at three things with you. Lessons from Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. Secondly, that even best disciples can have weak faith or fail miserably. And then thirdly, that the ascended Jesus continues to help his church. Lessons from Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. We've talked about this already, how gracious Christ was to appear to them in his resurrected body. He could have just given the message by the angel and said, I'm out of here. I'm going to heaven. You know, it's tough to live on this earth in the humbled form that I've been living to suffer the things of this world. I'm going back to heaven where I belong, to the glory I had with my Father before the world began. But no, he tarries, for Acts tells us, 40 days and different appearances to his disciples. And the first one he appears to is Mary Magdalene. It's fitting, I think, to explain who Mary Magdalene was, because she was the first one to see the Savior. That's, I think, why he reintroduces her in verse 9. Verse 8 has kind of a dramatic ending to it. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And you wonder, what's going to happen next? Because by the time Mark was writing this, they'd already been hearing preaching for a couple decades. They were hearing the eyewitness testimony as I spoke to the children. That's what was spread around at first. People didn't want to read a newspaper account in the Jerusalem Gazette. They wanted to hear it eye to eye, face to face from the eyewitness. They wanted to hear them tell it. You saw what? Can you tell me some of the details of that? Can you tell me how you felt? And that's what was done. The eyewitnesses presented it that way in their preaching. And so that dramatic pause, I think Mark is putting in there. And then he introduces Mary Magdalene. Why not Jesus' mother? She must have been incredibly grief-stricken. Why not his closest disciples like Peter or John? Well, we know that John was with Mary. In the Gospel of John, she was encouraged, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. So that she would have someone to comfort her and to help her. Well, we might think, okay, those who were last at the grave and were first at the tomb. And I'm sure that's part of it. Mary Magdalene was one of those. She had loved much because she had been forgiven much. Same with the other women who'd had diseases healed or other miracles done for them, and they loved Jesus much. They mourned there as they watched him die on the cross. They went early to the tomb to anoint his body with spices, and they did not find him. And were awestruck and joy-struck once they realized what was going on with the resurrection. But he didn't appear to them first. Mark mentions then for us, 7 demons had been cast out from her. A little bit of sanctified speculation here. I wonder if Jesus is doing triage. What's triage? You treat the worst patient first, the one who's most seriously in need. Jesus is appearing perhaps to Mary Magdalene first because she's the one who may have needed it the most. She had 7 demons cast out of her. Now, we've talked about how demon possession for adults certainly involves guilt on their part in getting into that bondage. But once you're under that tyranny, there may be a desire to escape, a wishing you could escape. It's like those who become addicted to alcohol or to drugs. There's a wishing to be able to escape from that tyranny. And now her Lord had died. He was in the tomb, as far as she knew. She may have been wondering. In fact, the demons may have been howling in her dreams saying, we're going to get you back, which they wouldn't have been able to do. She had true faith in the Lord, and he would protect her. But the fear she might have been experiencing, the wonder about this. And so Jesus appears to her first, Mary. John 20 gives us that tender account of how the Lord appeared to her and encouraged her in her distraught emotional state. The Lord similarly meets with us in our times of distress. It doesn't appear to us, we're not promised a resurrection appearance in our times of grief and hardship. But the Lord does give His grace in a special way when we are experiencing especially hard times. There are many who have said after they've gone through some very difficult trial, I knew more of the Lord's presence during that hardship than I did at other times. Not that we'd want to go through the affliction again, but the Lord is gracious to minister to us in our needs. How kind He was to appear to her first. How kind He was to appear to all the disciples, to strengthen their faith, to appear and to give many infallible proofs, as Acts 1 tells us, to appear to over 500 at once, as 1 Corinthians tells us. But secondly, we see in this passage that even the best disciples can have weak faith or fail miserably. When they heard, verse 11, when they heard that He was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. This isn't the first time that Mark has told us about the doubts of the disciples, about something that Jesus told them. Verse 13, and they went back and told the rest after Jesus appeared to them on the Emmaus Road, and they did not believe them. Verse 14, afterward He appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw Him after He had risen. These disciples, the ones who had been with Jesus for 3 years, who had seen His wonderful miracles, who themselves were equipped to preach and to perform exorcisms, to cast out demons, to heal sicknesses, to perform different signs and wonders, to see people coming to faith in God through their preaching. Those very same men didn't believe what Jesus told them about the resurrection. They didn't understand it. They didn't want to believe that what He told them about His death, that He was going to die. In fact, Peter even got himself in hot water by saying, no, may it never be. Many times we've seen their failings. Even the strongest Christians can sometimes fail miserably. Sometimes we fail one another. Sometimes we fail the Lord maybe more quietly and privately than they do. But that doesn't stop the Lord's mission. It doesn't stop the Lord from forgiving His people. As I said a couple weeks ago, go tell the disciples I've risen and Peter. And Peter, the worst offender, he needs to know too. All of us should be encouraged by the fact that the Lord continued to work with them. He did not say, all right, that's enough. I'm going to go get some other disciples because y'all really ain't cutting it. No, He continued to work with them, continued to rebuke them, continued to correct them, continued to appear to them that they would know. Yes, I really rose from the dead. Yes, all the things that I taught you are true. And I want you to be part of spreading the good news. Well, how were these men transformed into powerhouse preachers who turned the world upside down? Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He told them, wait at Jerusalem until I pour out the Spirit. And how did they receive that outpouring of the Spirit? They were praying. They were praying in response to His specific promise that He would pour out His Spirit to them. We also ought to be praying. We also ought not to be discouraged when things don't go as well as we wish they would. We also, as a church, ought to be praying that God's Spirit would be poured out upon us, that His Spirit would be poured out on Chester and on our nation. We ought to continue praying for revival. We ought to pray that the Lord would equip us, that He would also forgive our sins, that He would correct our failures, that He would help us to walk more faithfully with Him, seeing what He did with these disciples, seeing how He used them so mightily. Their failures didn't let them off the hook. He still told them, verse 15, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation, to every creature. Everybody still needs to hear it. Whatever continent they live on, whatever zip codes they live in, whether rich or poor, whatever ethnic group, whatever color, whatever nationality, whatever tribe, whatever tongue, they all need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're to be a part of proclaiming that to them as the Lord calls us, as the Lord equips us. We ought to be excited when we see different strategies for how God's people have developed to be able to reach the unbelieving world. I got a letter from Campus Crusade for Christ this week. They are trying to reach out with the gospel to the Middle East and North Africa. It's incredibly challenging, especially challenging to do large-scale evangelism there because you can get shut down pretty quick and put in jail with Muslim-dominated countries. But they said for a few weeks each year, there's a narrow window of opportunity. Each summer, hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children from closed nations in the Middle East and North Africa travel to Europe for vacation. But instead of taking planes, many of them drive their own cars onto ferries that then travel across the Mediterranean. Some of them across the middle of the Mediterranean to, you know, places on the south coast of France, some just across the Strait of Gibraltar to Spain. But during that fleeting moment of freedom, when these families have significant spare time to read, think, and talk, Campus Crusade missionaries and volunteers are using a strategy to minister to them. When they are waiting in line to get back on the ferries to go back to their country, because sometimes those lines can be long, they pass out evangelism packets to them, including the scriptures, including an evangelistic book for children, including a video about the life of Jesus, an apologetics book, and more. So they're going up and down these ferry lines, passing out the gospel to people. There are different ways that God's people, under this missionary impulse, go and proclaim the gospel to all of creation. That's one of the driving purposes of the church, the Great Commission, to present the gospel to others. Another driving purpose is to minister well to one another, and we ought to do that too. We ought never to forget this last great call of Jesus to his church. Proclaim the gospel, knowing that he will work with us. And that's the third point. The ascended Jesus continues to help his church. These promises of the signs that would accompany believers I've already, briefly discussed as showing up in the book of Acts. I don't believe those are continuing signs. It would always continue in the history of the church. When a new plant is, as J.C. Ryle, I think it is, says, when a new plant is first put in, then it needs the daily watering of things like miracles. But once it's taken hold and is growing, well, then it doesn't need them anymore. And so the sign-working wonders fell off. What was the purpose of those? Verse 20, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. That's what these miraculous signs and sign gifts were for, were to verify the authority of the apostles. That yes, we were really eyewitnesses to Jesus' majesty. We really saw him raised again from the dead. We really saw him ascend into heaven. He really gave us this great commission. He really is calling us to be his spokesman on earth. He's calling us to write new scripture as well and to see that it is written. And we verify that how? Just take our word for it? No, by many signs and wonders. Raising people from death, casting out demons, working amazing healings. The signs of the apostles, as it says in 2 Corinthians, I think it is 4. God confirmed the message through them in that apostolic age that we might know. We're not to be grasping after those miraculous signs. Does God still heal? Absolutely. Pray for him to heal. But the greatest miracle of all, perhaps, is when someone comes from deadness of heart to resurrection life of believing in Jesus. I can remember what that was like in my life. It was different from one day to the next. One day I was dead in my sins. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. I wanted nothing to do with the gospel. But the Lord changed my heart through his word. And I believed in Jesus. And I realized what the scriptures were saying about him were true. That's God's resurrection power, working with the proclamation of the gospel, and it continues to happen. continues to happen in those bound to the false religion of Islam, those bound to other false religions as well. It continues to happen in those who are bound to the secular humanism of our age, who are slave to it. Christ delivers them from darkness into his marvelous light. And how did he do that? Did he do that by continuing to go around with them as he did while he was on earth and sending them forth preaching and saying, come back and we'll have a talk about it? No, verse 19, after he'd spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And then, after that, is when they went and preached everywhere. After the Holy Spirit had been poured out as well. This is a very short summary of several weeks of and months and years in terms of the preaching of work. The Lord worked with them from heaven. The Lord continues to work with his people from heaven. The Lord continues to bless the work of his church from heaven, both here and around the world. That's what we seek, is the Lord's working with us, the Lord's equipping us and helping us. So we ought not to be discouraged. Sometimes there are days of small things. Sometimes there are discouragements. We don't see the gospel spreading as rapidly as we would like. Sometimes we're like the disciples, we fail one another, or others may fail us. But our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not in each other. Our hope is in the Lord and in his power. We ought not to doubt, J.C. Ryle again, that the Lord continues to work. He says, the little seed of Christianity grew gradually into a great tree that spread through many of the nations, most of the nations of the earth. Christ worked with them. Let us believe, he goes on, that no one shall ever work faithfully for Christ and find at last that his work has been altogether without profit. Let us labor on patiently, each in our own position. Let us preach and teach and speak and write and warn and testify and rest assured that our labor is not in vain. We may die ourselves and we may see no result from our work, but the last day will assuredly prove that the Lord Jesus always works with those who work for him. We will see his blessing upon our work. We will maybe one day hear what the blessing was upon our work that we might not see right now. Therefore, let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15. We might go on our way heavily sometimes and sow with many tears, but if we sow Christ's precious seed, we shall come again with joy and bring our sheaves with us. Psalm 126. The risen Christ, the ascended Christ, continues to work with his church. He declared the gates of hell shall never prevail against his church. He reigns and rules from heaven above. We trust him then to bless his work. We trust him to restore those who've had weak faith. We trust him to give grace to those in times of special need. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness to your church. We do thank you for your faithfulness in seeing that we would have the scriptures in the Greek manuscripts as well as translated into our own language. That it would be full and complete. We may know for sure what it says about Jesus is true. What it says about the good news of Christ is true and profitable. Lord, we pray for your blessing as we reach out with the gospel. We pray for your blessing as we live the Christian life. That, Lord, we would live in your strength, not our own. That we would rely upon you for grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please turn for our closing hymn, number 370, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Please stand. Rejoice.